Welcome. Do you know, I had everything sorted today. For the last few months and for the next 3 months, I've had it in my heart just to keep digging foundations and to go over things that God has placed upon my heart time and time again, because as a church, as a young church, we want to have a firm foundation. And I thought I had everything stitched up. There was a message I was going to bring from Matthew 25, and it's the parable of the talents. It's something I've spoken about before. I shared briefly at home group, and I thought, I've got this one stitched up. And then Joshua gave me a CD collection for my birthday, and it was from Hillsong Church, which he attends in London. And Brian Houston made a statement in one of those teachings, and he simply said this. He said, "What's in your hand can help you determine what's in your heart." And that thought didn't leave me. I briefly shared some things with Julian on Tuesday, and it just saturated my soul, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. Although what I want to speak about is our talents and the talents that God has given us. And so I want to run with what God has placed on my heart. I don't know where I'm running to, and I don't know how long the race will be, but bear with me. You know, God tells us not to take our salvation lightly. He also tells us to be careful with what we do with our gifts and our talents. In 2 Thessalonians it says, God may count you worthy of his calling. God may count us, you, worthy of his calling. You know, take that with what was placed on my heart with the parable of the talents, and also what Brian had said about what's in our hand will determine what's in our heart. I went to 2 Timothy 1:9, and it says this. It says, God who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That passage tells us that we are saved, that we are called, that we are purposed, and we are graced. And I started to pray around this scripture, a prayer around these verses, pray around where God has brought us from, where God has brought me from. And I started to think about what Brian had said. What's in our hand will determine what's in our heart. You know, and so often we neglect what's in our hand, and we pursue what's in our heart. Scripture tells us not to take our salvation lightly. And I had to apply that to my own life first, because there are times where I've taken for granted this salvation that God has given me. And it's not until I'm in his presence, where I'm saturated by his spirit, that I'm overcome with how much he has done for me by the blood and by the body that was broken for us. It's a reminder to me and to us not to take our salvation lightly. So often it's easy to live a life that is heaven bound. But do we grab hold of the purpose that we've been saved for? This scripture speaks about being saved, being called, being purposed, and being graced. And this is what I believe. We are saved for a purpose. We are saved because of the grace of God. It's by grace that we are saved. But God's grace only applies to us in our weaknesses. So when we are weak, in him we are strong. It's by his grace. Grace is God's favor. Grace is God's enablement. Salvation, suzu, a Greek Hebrew word. A Greek word taken from the Hebrew. The Hebrew meaning safe, saved, saved. Prosperous. God wants us to do well is in that word saved. Healed is in the word saved. To be healed, to do well, to go forward. And wholeness is in that word salvation. God wants wholeness for his children. Nothing broken, nothing missing. The completeness in God's salvation. So we are saved by his grace. And it's a wholeness that he wants to bring us into. And he wants us to prosper. He wants us to do well. And so often we can at times feel it's difficult to do well. Does God really want to bless me? Yes, he does want to bless you. It speaks about salvation. It speaks about calling. God's calling. What is God's calling? In this passage, God's calling, the word calling here means to call out loud. Literally to shout out. It's what we do. So we are saved and we are called. Calling is what we do. And so often, we're saying to the Lord, will you whisper to us, Father? Would you tell us? Would you speak to me? What is it you're calling me to? And actually, it's not a whisper, it's a shout. What is God shouting to you? Do you know what? Some 15, 16 years ago, just after I became a Christian, I would pray that very prayer. God, what is it you want me to do? Because I can't just sit still and do nothing. You're stirring me up. There's something alive within me. I have been born again from the Spirit of God. There's something that's restless. Lord, what is that? You're whispering in my ear. And I didn't know then, but I know now that God was shouting to me. I want you to work with what's in your hand. Because when you lay hold of what I have given you in your hand, it will bring about the fruition of what's in your heart. And when Brian shared that on his tape, it just witnessed with me. Because so often, we want to lay down what's in our hands to pursue what's in our hearts. And what God is saying here is this. You have been saved and you have been called. You've been saved and you've been called for a purpose. The purpose is the why. The grace is the enablement. The grace is the favor. So we've been saved. We've been called. We've been purposed. And we've been graced. And when we lay hold of the grace of God upon our lives, and we work with what He has put in our hand, it will help us to bring to fruition what is in our hearts. You know, I stand here today at the front of Grace Community Church because God gave me something in my heart. And I had to lay that down and work with my hands. And because of the gifts and the abilities and the talents that God had given me to work with my hand, it provided a way for me to achieve what was in my heart through the grace of God. Because at the point of my weakness and at the point of your weakness is when God's grace comes in. It's when His enablement comes in. Because when we can do it in our own strength, then God's grace doesn't need to be poured in. When we have to rely on God and say, Lord, help, it's at that point that His grace is poured in. So we are saved, we are called, we are purposed, and we are graced. And this is where the line came in from what is in your hand. Moses had it in his heart to see the people set free. He had it in his heart to see the captives released. But when God said to him, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Moses said, I can't do anything. I speak with a faltering lip. And when I looked into that word, it actually says, I talk in a Norfolk accent. So, it doesn't say that. At that point is when God said to him this. Moses, what's in your hand? All I have is a stick, a staff. And what God did was, He took what was naturally in His hand, and He did something supernaturally. By His grace, for His purpose, He turned the staff into a snake to show Moses that he that is in him is greater than he that is in the world. The same message for us. What is in your hand? So often, when we look at our talents, so often we look at what's in our hearts, and we say, Lord, I desire to do something for you. But what I believe God is saying to me and what God is saying to us as a church is if we take hold of what He has given us in our hands and we work diligently with what He has given us in our hands, the talents, the gifts, the abilities that we have naturally, God is shouting at us. He's calling us. When we are faithful with the small, He will pour in His grace. He will pour in His enablement. You don't have to live with that burden. If you're like me, Susan will bear witness, for years I would literally cry and say, Lord, you have more for me. What is it? What is it? Whisper to me. Whisper to me. And God was already shouting, Andrew, I've given you talents, gifts and abilities. Use them. As David was anointed king, he was sent back into the field to work. And it was there in the field that he learned to communicate with God. in a special way. It was there in the field that he learned that he was stronger than he thought he was. He could fight the lion and he could fight the bear. It was there in the wilderness as such, tending for those few sheep, as his brother would remind him later. It was there, as he was tending with those sheep, that he earned the reputation that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man of valor, a man of war. And all he did was he used the gifts and the talents that had been given. Now I'll go to the passage that I was going to share today, which is in Matthew. And it's Matthew 25. This is what I wanted to share on, the parable of the talents. I'll read it to you. It starts at 25, verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him, and thrown, and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The parable of the talents. There was one man who was given 5 talents, and the scripture says he was entrusted with it. And what he did was he took those 5 talents and he sold it into something and he produced 5 more. And when his master came back and he said, here we are, master, here's your 5 talents and 5 more. He said this, good and faithful servant. The word faithful is faithfully fruitful, increasing. It's not just faithful in the sense that I've given you something to look after and you faithfully looked after it, like you faithfully come to church, you faithfully pay your tithes, you faithfully care for one another, you faithfully honor the Lord. It's not that sort of faithful. It's a faithfulness which produces something. It's fruitfully faithful. So it was producing something. So when we come to church, if we're not growing, we're not being faithful in the sense of this word faithful, being faithfully fruitful. And also the man who had the 2 talents came to his master and said, here, see, I've gained 2 more. And the reward for him was the same. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. 5 talents, 2 talents, the reward was the same. His master was pleased with him. When we got to the man with the 1 talent, I kind of felt sorry for him. Because he was afraid, so he hid it. He didn't squander it, he didn't waste it, he just buried it in the ground. And what I believe this whole parable is saying to us is this. Firstly, that, you know, for some of us, we're 5 talent people. And for some of us, we're 2 talent people. And for some of us, we're 1 talent people. But the reward
if we are faithfully fruitful, it will be the same. If we bear fruit with what God has given us, the reward will be the same. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom. But the scripture tells us that these gifts were given, these talents were given, the money was given according to their ability. So God will only give us what he knows that we can handle. So if you're feeling burdened and weighed down really heavy with something, maybe you're a two-talent person, you're trying to carry five talents. And what God would say, to be faithfully fruitful, you need to lay down the three, take up the two, and produce something with it. If you're a five-talent person, but you feel you're not being fulfilled, it's probably because you're trying to work with two talents and you need to be working with the five. We need to be the people that God has called us to be. Because what God has given us in our hand will determine the outcome of what's in our hearts. So if you have a desire to serve God in a way... Example, when Cliff Richard became a Christian, he was already a well-known pop star as such. He was... Could you imagine his tithe? Now it'd be huge. But he wanted to give all that up. He wanted to take that talent that God had given him and he wanted to lay it aside to work for Tearfund full time. Now he would have made a difference. He would have been one man in the mission field and he would have made a difference. But how much more of a difference is he making now? Because he has taken what talent God has given him. He has taken the five talents and he has been faithfully fruitful with what God has given him and he is making a difference. The money that he is pouring into the mission field is astounding. The tithes that he's pouring into his local church so they can pour into the mission field is huge. So what was in his hand ultimately did fulfill what was in his heart. And sometimes we can think that, you know, I can't serve God unless I'm on the mission field. I can't serve God unless I'm a pastor. I can't serve God unless I go to Bible school. Do you know what? There was a time in my life where, because of my inadequacies, I still wanted to give everything up and go to Bible school. Because I thought, if only I went to Bible school, I'd be able to serve God. And fortunately, what God said to me was, work in the field. As I sent David to tend the sheep, you go and tend the sheep, because a tree is known by its fruit. If you're a pastor, a shepherd, then you'll be a shepherd regardless of if you've got Bible student written on you or not. If you're a shepherd, you'll be a shepherd. When they cut you in half, you'll have shepherd stamped through your body, because that's who you are. If you're a teacher, that's who you are. If you want to serve in the ministry of helps, that's who you are. You don't have to wait until you have a label to say, I am an usher at church. You will usher. You will do it. You know, you don't wait to say, I want to serve on the coffee router, the tea router. You don't need to wait for a label. You'll do it because that's who you are. Because of the talent that God has given you. When you work with that talent, the five talents, two talents, or the one talent, God will take that talent and that will, what's in your hand will produce what's in your heart. So ultimately, one of the things I'd like to say to us this, as a young church, if there are people here who have a desire, Molly was talking about taking one of these plants to remind you that God has given you a promise. And God's promises are yes and amen. So take Molly up on her offer as a reminder. We don't know how long these things take, but when we are faithful, faithfully fruitful, producing something with what God has given us, our natural talents, our natural abilities, whatever that may be, God will ultimately use those natural talents to bring into fruition what's in our heart. So what's in our hand will ultimately allow us to fulfill what's in our hearts. This man with the one talent, why is it that his master was so angry with him? I believe it's because the man with the one talent had no relationship with his master. Because if he had a relationship with his master, he would have known that his master was a generous man. That his master was a man who wanted to see us produce the best. And yet he didn't have that relationship with him. So at a fair, he took his one talent and he buried it in the ground. If you're a one talent person, if you have faith for today, What God is asking you to do is this: have a relationship with Him through His Son Jesus. And you will produce something from that one talent. And your gift will be exactly the same as the two talent man and the five talent man. Good and faithful servant, enter in to the joy of the Lord. That's when we find peace. We find peace when we're doing what God wants us to do. We find peace when we lay down the things that God wants us to lay down, and we lay hold of the things He wants us to lay hold of. So often our natural talents are the things that we want to lay down. If I lay these down, Lord, if I lay down the fact that You've given me an income through landscaping, through working with my hands, if I lay that down, Lord, and I pursue what's in my heart by gaining an academic understanding of Your word, then surely You'll bless me. And what God is saying is, no, what's in your hand may be only a stick, but I will take the natural and I will do something supernatural for His purpose. We are saved for the purposes of God. We are called for the purposes of God, and we are graced for the purposes of God. His grace is His enablement in our weaknesses. There may be things that we have had, skills that we've learned on the way, which are at cross purposes. And I'm smirking here, because as I think of some of the gifts that we have that are at cross purposes of God, I think of Andy Bradley. Now, Andy Bradley is our youth pastor. And before God got hold of him, he had some talents which were at cross purposes with God. And if I was to say, if you hear a knock on the door one night and you open it and you see a brown paper bag on fire, do not stamp it out. If you want to know the end of that story, you're going to have to talk to Andy. But if you see a brown paper bag on fire, do not stamp it out. That was at cross purposes with what God was doing in Andy's life. And what God is doing in his life now is for His purpose. I think I'm going to leave it there rather than go on to other things, because the message I want to get across to us today is this: that God has given each one of us a talent. It may be one talent, it may be two talents, it may be five talents. But there's no hierarchy in the kingdom. It doesn't matter if you're standing here or you're standing there. To God, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. The second thing I'd like to share with us is this: that what's in your hand can determine what's in your heart. It can bring into fulfillment what's in your heart. If you have a desire to serve God, then serve Him first where you are. Serve Him first with your talent, with the natural gifts and abilities that He's given you. You won't have to strive, because it's your natural gift. You may be five talent, you may be two talent, you may be one talent. All you have to do is be faithfully fruitful. Take what God has given you and produce something with it. Let's believe that in 2007, God is going to take each one of us in Grace Community Church, and He's going to take the talents that we have, the gifts that we have, the plans and the purposes that He has for us. Because God has purposed us to advance His kingdom. He saved us to advance His kingdom. He's graced us to advance His kingdom. He's called us to advance His kingdom. Let's be a people that are not ashamed of what He has given us in our hand, and that we will lay hold of what He has given us and not lay it down, because they're gifts that are given by God. And at the right time, He will bring into fruition what you have, the desires you have in your heart. Some of us here today are already testimonies of what God can do by His grace. His grace is His enablement. His grace is His favor. When you've been saved, the favor of God is upon you. You know, the wholeness of salvation, God wants to prosper you. It's not just financially, it's with your health, it's with your mind, it's with your whole being. God wants you to do well. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. Take those talents and use them for His glory, for His plans and His purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we have been saved, we have been called, we have been purposed, and we have been graced. And Father God, I pray that You would take our abilities, our talents, our gifts, and You would use them, Lord, to Your glory. We pray, Father God, that You would empower us through the infilling of Your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father God, that we would not take lightly this salvation that You have given us. That, Father God, that we would be a people that would move forward with You. That we would be a people that would lay hold of what You have for us. That, Lord, we would hear You say, good and faithful servant. Good and faithfully fruitful servant. But, Father God, we want to be a church of the increase. Not because of us, but because of You in us. Lord, we want to be a church. A church, Father God, that would take the name of Jesus and fly high above their houses. That You would draw people to Yourself. Lord, we pray that this would become a house of salvation. A house of wholeness. Nothing broken. Nothing missing. We ask this in Your name, Jesus. Amen.